Moncrief on News Talk.
Since Monday, a ban on advertising junk food has come into place in the UK, but it's not total. The ban only applies to online and on TV before 9 o'clock. There's also the rather Jesuitical distinction between advertising the food and the brand that sells the food. The ban only applies to the former, not the latter. So does even a partial ban like this work? Does it ever work? Lana Raypar is a lecturer in food business at UCC. Good afternoon, Lana.
John, thanks for having me on the show.
Are you sceptical about this, or are you very positive about these kind of bans?
Well, I think it's a first and foremost, it's a great step, first step. So I could say it's good, but it also has its loopholes, as you mentioned. So in general, if you just look at it for what it is made for, now this is only part of the bigger picture in the kind of like the toolbox of the UK government. You know, there's different strategies that are trying to combat this childhood obesity, which is a big problem. So this is only one tool. There are also other tools like making sure that the retail environments are making changes, like removing high calorie foods from checkouts, and the companies are reformulating the products. But the bigger picture is that it's a great step towards addressing an issue. Now, the ban in itself, as you mentioned, has definitely some things that are going to still enable the companies to do business as usual. And looking at the kind of reactions from the public, the consumers, the experts, but also from the businesses, there have been definitely mixed reactions. So on one side, we have the idea that banning, a better word would be limiting the exposure of children to see the advertisement of so-called junk food, which is really food that is high in fat, salt and sugar, which is a little more scientific definition. That's going to lead potentially to kind of like less wanting this type of food and, you know, asking parents for this type of food. And that's good. That's definitely something that is very positive. But on the other side, as you mentioned already, this ban doesn't cover outdoor advertising. So the biggest critique here is that companies are going to continue to advertise even more outdoor, which we're going to see. Another part that is not covered is, as you said, radio and audio content only as well. So the companies can still advertise there, obviously without any pictures. And also the companies can still advertise their products, which are healthier options on the television, but obviously they cannot advertise those foods that are high in fat, salt and sugar, but they can reformulate it and advertise that. And the last point about advertising their brand, yes, that can happen and that will happen without necessarily including the products that are obviously defined as high in fat, salt and sugar. And some critics say that this really kind of doesn't make an impact then, because the companies are still advertising their brands and using colors, using semiotics, which are very, very particular for them. So even children that are going to see those advertisements are still going to see the adverts and might be influenced. So my view on this is it's a good step forward. There's still a lot to do on many different fronts in marketing, especially in education, especially in research, and also in innovation as well.
Yeah. Is TV advertising particularly the big driver here? If a child, you know, it doesn't make a difference to a child if they see a picture of a Big Mac on the telly that they suddenly want a Big Mac, or it's so ingrained into the culture they're well aware of all these kind of food options.
Yeah, I think so, especially for children. Like, I mean, just like to give you some statistics from the UK, because this is exactly what they're putting in front, just to be aware of that. In the UK, 22% of children starting the primary school are obese. And by the age of 11, 1 in 3 children are obese. So these statistics are frightening. And if you apply this in Ireland, the newest data show that 1 in 5 primary school children in Ireland are living with overweight and obesity. So the point is that the children, especially younger children, are very prone to being influenced. And of course, what they see is going to shape what they want, their desires, and then they're going to obviously vocalize those things to parents and carers. So the TV advertisement, but also the online advertisements, kids still have access to, you know, devices. They see, whether we like it or not, they see TikTok, they see Instagram. They are shaped by that, definitely. So it does have an impact on children. And more importantly, those habits that children kind of like make in their early age actually might impact their later health status. So childhood obesity has potentially a very long-term negative health implications later on. Mm. So the TV ad does impact, but of course, to only to a certain degree. And also, there is a debate in public whether it's a responsibility of the government, you know, the public health sector, is it responsibility of parents to who are making those choices? But then you also have this thing in our heads, like we want a treat, right? You know, sometimes junk food is like, oh, on Fridays or weekends, like junk food is the synonymous of a treat, of relaxing. And is it really that bad to completely get rid of it? No, the point is to just maybe limit the consumption. So limit it to, you know, a certain amounts per week. And where it becomes a problem is where it is consumed on a daily basis, and especially again that vulnerable group of children is one the group that is being protected with this mostly. Yeah,
but then in would it not be more effective to target parents who are the ones who are buying this food for people?
Definitely. Like, so in marketing, like we obviously have, you know, consumer segments, and we have the first consumer and the second consumer. And in this case, very often we would say that, you know, maybe my first consumer is the parent, the second consumer is the child. Obviously, the parent is making that decision. But the parents as well, to some degree, I think need assistance. I was looking at some of the reports where parents were commenting, how is this UK ban impacting them? And they were literally saying, look, the less they see this, the better for us, because they're not going to be asking me so frequently for those types of junk food. So I think it's the solution is for both. Of course, targeting parents first and foremost with education and alternatives. I think you have to offer the alternatives as well, rather than just limiting, you know, the junk food advertisement. But then, you know, to children, there must be other ways as well, I suppose, maybe education through schools where, you know, we can teach how to, you know, make better choices. Mm. And also, you know what else, Sean? It's the accessibility. You know, children are exposed to vending machines. And when you enter any place that has a vending machine, there's always going to be basically junk food there. I've seen an example in the US where they actually have healthy vending machines where they actually offer like freshly made salads and stuff like that. And that might be a next step, the avenue for supporting me. So if something like this ever does come to Ireland, you know, it would be great to be prepared to learn from the UK example, but be prepared with alternatives that are going to be offered to parents and children as well.
Yeah. And in the UK model at the moment, they're allowed to advertise healthier options. Is there a very strict definition as to what they mean by healthier?
Yeah, so they do actually have this nutrient profiling model, and this one uses a scoring system where the actually points are allocated on the basis of the nutrient content of 100 grams of food or drink. And, you know, the less healthy or the food high in fat, salt and sugar is defined if the product scores 4 or above for food or 1 or above for drink. But you also have this category. So they have 13 different categories, but also with this profiling model, they also have the food included, which are considered to maybe potentially contribute to obesity, so like burgers and pizzas. There are healthier options, of course, and the companies will be able to advertise those healthier options. But experts do agree that there is a very thin line in defining what is healthy and what is unhealthy, because even water in too much amounts can actually be unhealthy. So it's a conversation that I think needs to happen more often in the public sphere with different stakeholders. And I think the more we talk about this type of things and see different sides from the consumers, from the advocates, from companies, from scientists as well, I think we are going to be in better shape to come up with a real solution for this problem, because it is a problem.
Lana, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Lana Repar there, a UCC lecturer in food business.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.